This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salawatullahi wa salamuhu ala nabiyyihi al-kareem. Alayhi afdalu salatu wa atamu taslim. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is Tuesday, May 4th, 2020. What year are we in? 2021 or 22? I don't even remember. I literally just went blank. It is. What year is it? I have no idea. Someone let me know what year it is. I can't remember. I feel like it's 2021. SubhanAllah. It is. It's 2021. I don't know why I'm thinking 2022. So it's May 4th, Tuesday, 2021. 1 hour before Iftar, alhamdulillah, here in Toronto. And tonight is the 23rd night of Ramadan, but we are still fasting the 22nd day right now. So alhamdulillah, you know, it's his 22nd day of, jazakumullahu khairan lubna. It's the 22nd day of this month of Ramadan, so we'll be covering the 22nd juz of the Quran. Which means tomorrow we're going to start off with Surah Yasin. And I know that's a surah that a lot of people, especially if they're from like India, Pakistan, you know, that background, we've been brought up reciting Surah Yasin just like it's Surah Al-Fatiha. Like every single evening you have to recite Surah Yasin after Salat al-Maghrib. But before that, that'll be tomorrow inshallah. Today we're going to continue with the 22nd juz of the Quran, and we are on Surah Al-Ahzab. And I want to begin by looking at verse number 32, 33, 34, and 35 of Surah Al-Ahzab. Okay, verse number 32 to 35 of Surah Al-Ahzab. Here, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the mothers of the believers to be an example, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he begins, and I'll just go through the English in order to save time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other women. If you are mindful of Allah, of course, then do not be overly effeminate in speech with men. Or those with sickness in their hearts may be tempted, but speak in a moderate tone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by giving them advice. Now, some of us might say, but this is for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, it is. But at the same time, we look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and of course from amongst them is or are his wives, radiallahu anhunna. And they were given a status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was specific to them, in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rules put in place that were specific for the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the reason why I want to share this or go through these verses today is because this should be something that we aspire to be like, not only the sisters from amongst us, but the brothers, okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wives are told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other women. And we could say, O sisters, O believing women, right? O believing women, you are not like the other women in society, okay? If you are mindful of Allah, then do not be overly effeminate in speech with those men who are around you, right? With people in general who are around you, but also those who have some sort of sickness, as in they would be inclined towards, you know, being attracted to them. They may be tempted to come closer to them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to speak in a moderate tone. And this applies to, I would say, every single one of us. You know, when we think of how we're supposed to behave, you know, we don't try to say things or impress people, what we would call in modern terms flirting, right? We try not to flirt with others. Both the sisters should not do it with brothers, and brothers should not do it with the sisters, right? There's no flirting in the deen. And of course, this again is specific to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if it is something that they are meant to do to protect themselves, then shouldn't we also want to protect ourselves? Now, someone might say, but why do we need to behave a certain way in case the actions of someone else are not kept under control by them? Why do we have to be punished for it? We're not punished. See, when you do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you submit and you control yourself, as in you carry yourself in a certain way in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are being rewarded, right? We are being rewarded for that. And so we try our best. And if there's some element of difficulty, well, that means that we will receive forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the hardship that we're going through. But also we are protecting ourselves from people who have ill intent, okay? Now, we could use this across the board in various different ways. You know, people who have certain intentions to do certain things, you can't ever control them. But the point is to take your precautionary measures and to leave it at that. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to be moderate in their speech, as in to have a moderate tone. Don't beautify your voice in a way that people will be attracted to you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, settle in your homes and do not display yourselves as women did in the days of pre-Islamic ignorance, in the time of Jahiliyyah. Establish prayer. Pay zakah, right? Pay your zakah, those alms that are due, right? Establish prayer. Pay zakah and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah only intends to keep the causes of evil away from you and purify you completely, O members of the Prophet's family. Right? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving commands and advice to the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, they're going to be establishing their prayers. But one of the first things that people were challenged with, that the believers were challenged with after the passing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was paying zakah. Now, this was not something that was specifically an issue within Madinatul Munawwara, as in the city. But it was an issue outside of the city, in some of the tribes, right? Some of the neighboring tribes. And Abu Bakr radiallahu an even, swore to wage war or to take up arms against those who would disobey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in paying out their zakah. Now, when you think of it, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally we in our minds would think, but why would they have to, first of all, you know, they didn't have much wealth to begin with. So zakah was probably not something that they were, you know, going to pay. And if they would, it would be a very small amount. Also, they didn't inherit anything from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? Because the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't inherit from any of the prophets, right? The only thing that really is inherited from the prophets is their knowledge, right? فَإِنَّ الْعُلَمَاءَ وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. So now when we think of the zakah that needs to be paid, wouldn't you think that if you lived at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that you would help his family members and assist them in whatever they need and go above and beyond by looking after them, taking care of them, and so on? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them, you know, you may be in a position that people will look after you and people will treat you slightly differently than the rest of society, but you still have the responsibility of paying out your zakah. You still have to pray your prayers. You know, you still have to obey Allah. You still have to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in follow his sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Allah only intends to keep the causes of evil away from you and purify you completely. Okay? Just give me 10 seconds, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry about that. My parents are calling me on my phone and it's being used for the live stream, so just letting my family know to get in touch with them, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them, listen, you still have the obligation to look after your deen. You still have to follow through with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And, you know, this is not to make life difficult for you. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to keep evil away from all of you, right? Keep evil away from you. And so this is a means of protecting yourself. Zakah is purification, right? Zakah is purification. It purifies ourselves, purifies our hearts, purifies our intentions. And the wealth didn't belong to us, as we learned before already when we talked about zakah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 34, always remember what is recited in your homes of Allah's revelation and prophetic wisdom. Surely Allah is most subtle, all aware. As in, don't forget the ayat that were revealed to your husband, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that were recited within your home. Remember them, practice them, live by them, right? Don't fall short, right? And also the revelations of the Qur'an and the prophetic wisdoms, right? The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are those who preserved the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they're the ones who relate the or narrate the most intimate of a hadith, some of the most detailed hadith. They come from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because there were things that took place inside of their homes that the sahaba, the other companions, especially the men, didn't know of. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they knew him. And when you think of it, who knows you best? Usually you would say that your spouse knows you the best, because the person you are outside, or the person we are outside of our homes, is usually not the person that we are outside of our homes. And it takes strong personalities to whip us into shape, right? I don't mean literally whipping, as in, like, you know, to keep us in line, to be the same person outside as you are inside of the home, to do the things that you say outside as you do inside of your home. And remember, Allah subhanahu says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun kabura maqtan 'indallahi an taqulu ma la taf'alun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out to the believers, why is it, lima taqulun, why you say that which you don't do? From the worst of sins that we can commit is to say things to others and encourage others by making it seem as though we live a certain way, but we don't do that in our own personal life. From one of the worst things ever, you know, subhanAllah. So my brothers and sisters, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a human being as well. He came home to his family and he had around him who he would, you know, show he would be vulnerable with them, right? That part of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out with his spouses. And so they share it with the other companions. They let us know about his life. They let us know who he was, right? And alhamdulillah, you know, that's something that they took part in preserving the sunnah of Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. Then in verse number 35 of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surely for Muslim men and women, believing men and women, devout men and women, truthful men and women, patient men and women, humble men and women, charitable men and women, fasting men and women who guard their chastity, and men and women who remember Allah often, for all of them, Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Right? Let's say that again. Surely for Muslim men and women. So Allah saying that he's not reserving something for one gender and not for the other. And this is a lesson and a message for the brothers of modern day society, that we are not, you know, held at a standard where, oh, you know, we're men and women, they just stay home, or women, they just do that. No, they don't, right? They don't just. When one of our, one of us as a man has to stay home with our children for the whole day, Or let's say, la qadar Allah thing happens where our wife needs to be away for a day or two or three. Let's say she's, helping her family or something of that sort. It's like, whoa, how are we going to deal with this? Because you have that responsibility of your work that you still need to get done. And you have the responsibility of home that is even more important. And you have a responsibility of cleaning and the responsibility of cooking and the responsibility of, taking care of the prayers and education and all of that. SubhanAllah, all at once. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely for Muslim men and women, men and women, devout men and women, truthful men and women, patient men and women, humble men and women, charitable men and women, fasting men and women who guard their chastity, and men and women who remember Allah, for all of them, Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward. So sisters should not think, we miss out on some part of the month of Ramadan. We're missing out on the fasting. And the brothers go, we have to fast the whole month and you don't have to. No, they still have to. They have to make up those days. And don't think that it's easy upon them. The days they're not fasting, sisters who are genuine, who really care, this fasting this month is important, they feel the loss of not being able to fast. Brothers look at it like, you have it easy. You only fast for 3 weeks throughout Ramadan. No, but the sisters are like, yeah, but you get to stand in prayer. We don't get to stand in prayer. You get to fast. We want to fast. We want to sacrifice more. We want to give more to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't look at it as like, they're getting a break. They actually have a challenge that is psychologically more difficult than we do as men, and shouldn't belittle it. We shouldn't put it down. Charitable men and women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, both men and women, the charity should not come from just one. It should come from both, right? We should give in the name of ourselves and the name of our spouse as well, or she should give from her wealth as well, some sadaqah. We move on to verse number 36. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not for a believing man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger decree a matter, to have any other choice in that matter. Indeed, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has gone far astray. When I was reading through the juz, I thought to myself, this has to be a verse that we cover. This has to be a verse that we cover. Okay? Why does it have to be a verse? Because we can't pick and choose what we want to practice and what we don't want to practice of our deen, except in the things that are voluntary, that are optional, supererogatory, right? For example, a sunnah prayer. You don't have to do it, but it's encouraged to pray it or encouraged to follow it, okay? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it is not for the believing man or woman. So we are not allowed to do this, to do what? When Allah and His Messenger decree a matter, to have any other choice in that matter. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا, that salah is prescribed at specific times, right? We can't be like, maybe a different time. No, we look at what Allah and His Messenger have taught us, right? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed and what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us from what was revealed, okay? The timing of the prayer, we could see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught by Angel Jibreel that during this time, this prayer, there's, you could begin at this time and end at that time. This prayer begins at this time, ends at that time. That one begins at that time and ends at that time. Okay, so that's the play. There's no other way around it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fast, we fast, Ramadan. He says, pray your prayers, we pray our prayers. He says, pay zakah, we pay zakah, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go for hajj once in your life if you're able to. Go for hajj once in your life if you're able to. Right, as in once you meet the requirements to be able to go. If you meet those requirements, you must go for Hajj. right? You must go. It's compulsory upon you. If you didn't go when you had the opportunity to go, and then years later you're like, but I can't afford it now. I could afford it if I went 10 years ago, but now I can't afford it anymore. Well, 10 years ago when you could have afforded it and you had the time and you had the energy and you had the means, it was compulsory for you to go. And if you refused to go, then you lost out. And our scholars teach us, based on the tafsir and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that a person would be sinned for not having gone for Hajj when they had the opportunity to go. When Allah gave them all the means ready for them to go, but they chose not to go. So my brothers and sisters, remember, we don't have a choice in that Allah has made compulsory. SubhanAllah, really interesting. Just an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours ago, our daughters went down for a walk, in our neighborhood. And I, followed through. I said, let me get out of the house a little bit, walk around. And, SubhanAllah, I don't get enough exercise. And so I thought, let me go and just go for a walk and keep an eye on them as well. And as I'm walking, down the path, it's bad manners, very bad manners, but I was looking after, recording a video and posting about the fundraising campaign that I'm assisting and trying to, support feeding children. So I was posting that. And as I'm walking through the path, there's, another woman that's walking past me on the side. And I didn't pay attention. In my mind, I was like, I should say, hello to people you pass by. Usually that's what we do. And we teach our children to do that as well. Right, say hello to people as we pass by them. But I got closer to this sister, and as I'm walking by, she says, "Daoud," and I was like, "Yeah," like totally thrown off. Right, someone just says your name, and I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh," she introduces herself. This is a sister who just a few months ago over the phone. Right, I had communicated with her over the phone because of COVID and so on. And subhanAllah, she embraced Islam over the phone. And so I was talking to her. And what popped into my mind in this verse now, as I was talking about it, is I asked her a question. And this was not premeditated whatsoever, right? This is not part of my notes and what I plan to teach. But just looking at this ayah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is not for the believing man or woman, when Allah and His Messenger decree a matter, to have any other choice in that matter. Indeed, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has clearly gone far astray. I asked this sister, she's only been Muslim for a few months, maybe 2 or 3 months. I said, she asked me, she says, how's Ramadan going? I said, oh, it's going, really well. The month is almost gone. I said, have you tried fasting a few days this month? She said, yeah, I've been fasting the whole month since the beginning. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes when people embrace Islam, we of course taught them, and they know that they have to fast, and they have the established prayer, and then establish fasting during Ramadan and so on. But for some Muslims who are new to Islam, like very new to Islam, fasting the entire month of Ramadan sometimes can be very challenging. But subhanAllah, she's like, yeah, no, I've been fasting since the beginning of the month of Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. So that's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Like someone who's new to Islam, establishing your prayers and fasting Ramadan, alhamdulillah, that's amazing, right? And so, when you think of it, those of us who have been born and raised and every single year we're saying, come on guys, come on brothers, come on sisters, we got to work harder, we need to be, we need to be better Muslims, we have to work harder, push, strive. We sometimes take it for granted that we've been Muslim since childbirth. Or we were raised in Muslim families, I should say, right? Because kullu mawludin yuladu ala fitra, right? Every single one of us is born upon the fitra, the natural default mode of humans. But here we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give us a choice. No choice, khalas. We'll do it. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees, that's it. We're going to do it. And we submit. What's the saying? Sami'na wa ata'na, right? We hear and we obey. Verse number 49 of Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, if you marry believing women and then divorce them before you touch them, as in before you've consummated your marriage, they will have no waiting period. There's no iddah for you to count. So give them a suitable compensation and let them go graciously. Why am I touching upon this ayah? Touching upon this ayah because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believing men, if you get married and the marriage falls apart before you even consummate the marriage, look at the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now you would think that if someone's marriage is falling apart, that they are going to be really angry, that they are going to be very upset, that they're going to be, you know, hurt, and there's going to be emotions that are being thrown around, feelings and words and expressions and so on. You would think that someone is not just going to be happy with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's a waiting period for them, so give them a suitable compensation. Look after them still. Look after them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, look after them. Even though the marriage was not consummated, the mahr has to be returned to the husband, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the man, you know, give them something. Give them something, right? Don't be cheap. Don't be stingy. Don't be greedy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and let them go graciously. وَسَرِّحُوهُنَّ سَرْحًا جَمِيلًا. Let them go graciously. As in, respect them. Honor them. They're still believers, right? They're still believers. Allah says, oh believers, if you marry believing women, they're still believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though there was a marriage and there was, you know, an annulment of that marriage, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You still respect them and you honor them as believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It didn't work out for you, alhamdulillah. It'll work out with you and someone else and with them and someone else, insha'Allah ta'ala. So don't let it get to you to the point that you can move on in life and then you start to harm each other with words, with phrases, with you know, accusations, with threats. You know, my brothers and sisters, this is not the way of the believers. It's not the way of the believers. We don't do this. We're not supposed to, and we shouldn't. So my brothers and sisters, be calm with each other, especially when it comes to matters of divorce and separation. And be honest and true. Be honest and true. Don't take advantage of each other. Brother or sister, don't take advantage of each other. Verse number 56. An ayah that we hear almost every single Jumu'ah khutbah. Verse number 56, Surah Al-Ahzab. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Indeed, Allah showers His blessings upon the Prophet and His angels pray for him. O believers, invoke Allah's blessings upon him. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, sallu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Or صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم صلي وبارك على نبينا محمد. You know, so many things can be said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O believers, invoke Allah's blessings upon him and salute him with worthy greetings of peace. صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Say something nice, a dua. Shower the blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A reminder for every single one of us. When we hear the name Muhammad, referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not when we see a child name is Muhammad and we say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No. Because you're addressing that Muhammad, that child, that person, right? But when you hear the name Muhammad referring to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi وسلم, then we should all say صلى الله عليه وسلم. So when we're listening to the lectures and we're teaching and we say Muhammad or we say, you know, the Prophet, we should say صلى الله عليه وسلم as well. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His blessings on the Prophet and His angels pray for him as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. And then He gives us a command, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Remember, we just finished taking the verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when something is decreed, a matter is decreed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and established by His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we don't have a choice in this matter. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. That's all of us. صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. A command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should never be ashamed to say it. You know what? Subhanallah. I was in the hospital once a few years ago, and I ran into someone, non-Muslim, and we were talking about, they started asking me questions about Islam because they know that I'm the chaplain there in the hospital, the Muslim chaplain. And they were asking me some questions about Islam. And as I was talking, I was saying, and our Prophet, peace be upon him, and talking, and then I said, and the but the Prophet, you know, said this, and I mentioned a few times, and this is what we do. We don't usually say peace be upon him, peace be upon him, peace be upon him after every single time we say his name, especially if we say it two or three times in one sentence. But the non-Muslim stopped me and said, I noticed that you said, or you addressed the Prophet, you referred to the Prophet three times, but you only said peace be upon him once. I thought Muslims were supposed to say it every time that they hear his name. And I said, yeah, that's the case. But when we're like referring to a context, like you're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his family, his friends. See, when I said his family, his friends, his companions, I wouldn't say his sallallahu alayhi wasallam family, his sallallahu alayhi wasallam friends, his sallallahu alayhi wasallam companions. You put it all together and you say sallallahu alayhi wasallam once for those three. And so they were like, oh, so you're not sinned? I was like, well, it is a command. It is a command from Allah. So the more times that we are particular with saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or peace be upon him, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, then the better. So even the non-Muslims recognize this about us. We should not be ashamed. It's a means of da'wah. It's a means of showing our love and our respect and honor to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what? How many times in the modern day society that we live in are we as Muslims finding ourselves in situations where we need to defend Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Multiple times, so many times. We see it in newspapers, we hear it on radios, we see it on TV, it's being mentioned on the internet, lots of people trying to defame Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then the Muslims come out powerful, and we're like, we need to defend the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his image and this and that and everything to do with him. Yes, we do. But we should also understand that sometimes we fall short within ourselves. Because Allah gives us the command, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And He's telling us to say it often, to constantly, to frequently send peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in the very next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely those who offend Allah and His Messenger are condemned by Allah in this world and the hereafter, and He has prepared for them a humiliating punishment. Those who offend Allah and His Messenger. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and save us all from any harm due to our shortcomings, due to our ignorance, due to our laziness, and shower peace and blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Let's move on. Let us jump to let's go to verse number 28 of Surah Fatir. Okay, 28 of Surah Fatir. In verse number 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just as people, living beings, and cattle are of various colors as well, of all of Allah's servants, only the knowledgeable of His might are truly in awe of Him. Allah is indeed Almighty, All-Forgiving. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ وَدَوَابِّ وَالنَّعَامِ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ كَذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ غَفُورٌ. Indeed, Allah is Almighty, All-Forgiving. See here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, in the previous verse, talks about, how He sends the rain from the sky, and it brings fruits and, vegetation of different colors. And in the mountains are streaks of varying shades of white, red, and raven black. Just as people, living beings, and cattle are all of various different colors, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us that He created the variety of crops, vegetation, mountains, agriculture, cattle, animals, humans, various different, we, alhamdulillah, as human beings, need and must respect each other. Why? No one should say, you're a different color than me, I don't respect you. We should do that. Racism, we've seen what it's done this last year, how much the world was upside down due to the pandemic. And then of course, there have been many instances, but, the sad condition of certain actions, especially in the US where the world's eyes are focused, right? The eyes of the world are focused on the US. And then you see racism being broadcasted. And it's as though the people that are committing this or feel it, who have a disease and illness in their hearts, don't even care. And that shows how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that their hearts become sealed. They don't care. They don't care. And we continue to make du'a for them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He created all of His creation, the various different kinds of His creation, He chose kinds of multiple kinds, as in multiple different colors. What do we learn from this? We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ultimately is the creator of everything. And we have a responsibility as believers to show the world that we have to be respectful to one another, regardless of the skin tone, regardless of the height, regardless of the figure, regardless of the language, regardless of the accent, regardless of the name and the difficulty or the complexity of the name. Human beings are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are insulting another creation of Allah, we are insulting ourselves, but we are insulting the Creator as well. And so not insult the Creator. If we're insulting another human being because of their color, people saying, oh, you're black. No, that's a human being who is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're not happy with the creation of Allah, that means you're not happy with the Creator. What a sad condition we are in if we are not happy with our Creator. And racism exists, especially around the world, but also within our communities. And I don't mean here in Milton. I mean across the globe in the Muslim communities as well. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He created different tribes, right? Different tribes from different places. لِتَعَارَفُوا, so that you can get to know one another. We forget that Allah created everything of this earth. We forget that Allah created the variety for us to choose from. You go to the store, imagine you went into the grocery store. And everything in the grocery store was identical to the other. Everything was the same. You want an apple looks like, I don't know. Let me just find something to use, something generic, okay? Where's my pen? Cross, we use this. You want an apple? This is an apple. You want a banana? This is a banana. You want a pear? This is a pear. You want milk? This is milk. You want peanut butter? This is peanut butter. Everything looked the same. You wouldn't have anything to choose from. You go to fruit, you go to produce, you go to anything on any shelf, and they all look the same, and they all taste the same, and they all have the same texture, and they all are the same size, and they're all the same price. Life would be super boring. Life would be super boring. But Allah created variety, even amongst us as human beings. We have friends from around the world. We have brothers and sisters who get married to each other in different races, alhamdulillah, from different cultures. They eat different foods. They dress with different clothing. They speak different languages. Their names are different. Subhanallah, one of our nieces, alhamdulillah, our niece married, a brother embraced Islam from Cap Verde, right? Cap Verde. An island, subhanallah. You know what they named their child? Mosey Lee. Such an interesting name. Super cool, super awesome, right? Like, our niece's name is Mosey Lee. Alhamdulillah. That's amazing, right? We have, people from around the world whose names are different, but we enjoy it, right? Their culture is different, but we enjoy it. Their fruits and vegetables that they grow in their country is different than what we grow over here. Alhamdulillah, but we enjoy it. Just remember, my brothers and sisters, when we make fun of the creation of Allah, we are by extension making fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and showing disrespect to the creator of the creation. So hold back the next time we go to insult someone or something, hold back. And if we do it by mistake, remind yourself, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, right? A reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator and that He gave us this Qur'an to remember Him by and to also live by in a way that would be beneficial to us. Surely those who recite the book of Allah, verse number 29 of Surah Fatir, surely those who recite the book of Allah establish prayer and donate from what we have provided for them secretly and openly, can hope for an exchange that will never fail, so that He will reward them in full and increase them out of His grace. He is truly all-forgiving, most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to be merciful, but also to be generous during this time, right? Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورَ. Subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, give. This is the time to give. It's Ramadan. We want our deeds to be increased, but don't only give in Ramadan and not after it. Give what you can now, alhamdulillah, and support the masajid, support the organizations, support the orphans, support the single mothers, support the shelters, support the hotlines or the helplines that help, both brothers and sisters, children, youth who are going through depression, hardship, difficulty. I mentioned it the other day, we have Nasiha, we have Nisa helplines, you have NCCM as well, you know, Yaqeen Institute, you have Islamic Community Center of Milton as a masjid, you have many masajid, you know, Al-Falah, you have masajid across the globe, subhanAllah, they need our donations as well. But there are organizations that are doing specific things here and there. And an example my wife, you know, brought to my attention the other day, not that I didn't know of it, but she shared a gem with me. I told her, I said, you know, I don't understand. I came home from the masjid the other day, it was after 11 o'clock, and I get a message on my phone, you know, someone is in need of help, or I don't really know exactly what it was, but they're like, you know, Assalamu alaikum, is it possible to speak to you? I need to ask you something about the situation that I'm going through. And I'm thinking to myself, but like, it's 11 o'clock at night, it's an odd night of Ramadan, like, I really don't want to be in the middle of the night, like, close to midnight, do I have to be doing this? And my wife was like, well, don't we have organizations out there that actually are there 24/7 to help people that are in need? So why don't you develop a system that when people reach out to you in the middle of the night and you feel that this is, you know, you put in enough time in the day and you want some time for yourself or you want some time for the family, then just link them to those helplines where at least for the night they can get some help. And then tomorrow, throughout the day, they can get in touch with you. She's absolutely right. And we have people that are there 24/7 answering these calls. So my brothers and sisters, you know, do your part. Be as generous as possible so that Allah will reward you in full and increase that out of His grace. Right? As He mentions in verse number 30 of Surah Fatir, and He is truly all-forgiving, most appreciative. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. That's all the time that we have for today, my brothers and sisters. Jazakumullahu khairan. Tomorrow we'll start with Surah Yasin. We're not going to cover the whole surah, of course, but we'll take some parts of it, inshaAllah ta'ala. And remember, you know, this is a time when dua is accepted. So spend at least a minute before you break your fast. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever it is that you've always wanted. Be sincere, be genuine. You know, ask Allah from the bottom of your heart, from the depth of your heart, from the intelligence of your mind, right? From the wisdom in inside of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what is best for you of this dunya and the best of the akhirah to be granted to us. Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from every single one of us. We will be live streaming once again tonight at 9:45 p.m. from the masjid, inshaAllah ta'ala. Okay? So we'll be live streaming at 9:45 p.m. from the masjid tonight. So please do join us there. You know, in the same platforms that you're watching on right now, you can also tune in. For those of you that are on Instagram, it would be nice if you sort of transitioned over to, you know, Facebook or YouTube. You can watch on my channels or the Masjid channel. That way, what I'll do is try to have it more centralized, try to focus more on one of the streams, even though there's like four different platforms that it's going to there. And I'll be using the microphone, the additional microphone tonight, inshallah, because the sound was a little bit off the other night. So we'll be doing that. So please do join us in an hour and a half, inshallah ta'ala, at 9:45 p.m. Toronto time from the Masjid. It is the 23rd night of Ramadan tonight. So we want to make sure that we learn a little bit, we implement a little bit, and we stand and we strive a little bit, and we make dua a little bit, and we recite a little bit of Quran, and alhamdulillah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make tonight from the night of, to make tonight, or whatever night that we're up, right? To make it Laylatul Qadr, so that we catch that night of power, the night of decree, and the night when the angels descend, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us even more, and the angels are surrounding us, so we feel even more generous to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever capacity we can. Ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. I'll see you in an hour and a half with Sheikh Riyad and Sheikh Hudhaifa from the Masjid, from the Islamic Community Center of Milton. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa sallallahu salamu wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim.